So thank you so much for having me today. So yeah, as Pastor Jack alluded to, we are going to talk about planning. And if we could get the slides on the first one on the back there, so I can kind of, there we go. So I'm just basing this off of one scripture, but there's so many scriptures that can really direct us into how we are to plan. This one just talks about in Proverbs, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. This idea of just, first of all, whatever it is we do, we need to commit it to the Lord. Commit it to God, the one who's created us, the one who actually has a plan for us, the one who cares for us, the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, the one who knows what's going to happen more than we could ever foresee. And this is the one we need to be committing our plans to, committing ourselves to. But on the other hand, at the same time, while God is taking care of things, while God is in control and he has a plan and his plan is not going to be thwarted, there is a human element here of responsibility that his people must take in planning. Because if we fail to plan, failing to plan is planning to fail. We can't just wake up every day and kind of think everything's going to fall in place. It probably won't. We'll be very distracted that way. I don't know how many people have tried that approach in life before, but we find ourselves going off in too many directions, getting burnt out quickly. You can find there's so many opportunities in this life, and we have to learn what to say no to and what to say yes to. So that's where a plan helps. Setting, first of all, goals. The goal of what is my goal for this year? What is my goal maybe in a more longer term? What is my weekly goal, monthly goal? And that way, whatever comes our way, whatever opportunities come our way, we can decide if we're going to choose to do them or not, because do they help me get towards the goal that I feel God has placed on my heart to get to? So we're able to eliminate those type of opportunities. I'll go to the next slide, please. So this is a new beginning, and new beginnings are written all over Scripture here. So let's just talk about the very first beginning. When creation was created, when God created all things, he spent time, he created it, and it was a new beginning for his people. Adam and Eve, they had a fresh start. They were given the responsibility to take care of the earth and everything in it. So that was their new beginning. But there is another one who also decided he wanted to start his own new beginning. This is what we know as the fallen angel, the one who rebelled against God in the heavens and came down in the appearance of a serpent to deceive Adam and Eve to follow his new plan, where he had a big vision and a big dream where he would start this new kingdom. Come and follow me, he says. And he deceived them by tricking them, by telling them that surely you will not die when you eat from this tree. You will actually gain insight. You will gain the knowledge of good and evil. And it was provoking to them that they were willing to disobey the only command God gave them, not to eat from the tree. So they followed someone else's plan. This Satan has a plan for 2019 as well. A plan to kill, steal, and destroy. And we as people, we begin to follow that plan. And we entered into a cycle of death. And that is why we all experience death today. That is why we all will at some point die. And that is why everyone will die at some point today. At some point in their life. But God was not done with his plan. He decided, I am going to pursue my people. I'm going to draw them back to me. I want to keep in relationship with them. My plan's not over. So he gave them the promise. He gave them the promise that he would come and rescue them. He started off with the law, We were unable to uphold the law. It told us what to do. It told us what was right, what was wrong, because we were getting so confused. We were getting so mixed up. What was right, we thought was wrong, and what was wrong, we thought was right. And we see it happening today still, as people begin to treat things that are wrong as right, and actually a very important right. It becomes a moral issue. They create their own morals where they say, this is definitely right, and if you don't agree with it, you are a bad person. And it's completely got switched, and it leaves Christians who are trying to follow the Bible almost defenseless. Well, what am I to do? If I stand for what I believe is the truth, they will say I'm a bad person. How does this work? That's because we have two plans that are conflicting with one another. There is certainly a battle going on. But God said still, I'm not giving up. Even though you're not able to uphold the law, you know what? That's it. I am going to come to you. I'm going to come to you in your own form and begin to speak a message to you that you may have everlasting life through me. That I am going to die for your sin. That I'm going to take the penalty that you all deserve, which is death. And I'm going to die. So I'm going to take all the death that you deserve, and I'm going to put it on me, even though I don't deserve it, and I'm going to die. And thus, he did. And he died. The people following him at the time, following Jesus, were worried. Oh no, I thought this was a new beginning. I thought this was the Messiah. What has happened? He has died. 3 days later, he resurrects, and a whole new beginning is initiated. His kingdom is coming now. His kingdom is here, and it's still yet to come. And this is the new beginning he has announced, where there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, where his people will be given a new body. There will be a new creation in him. As we believe on Jesus, as we put our trust into God, we are given the opportunity to have a completely new beginning that we all so desperately need. As it is my birthday today, I often have been reflecting on life in general, and how quick life can go. A friend of mine recently, not a very close friend, but an acquaintance I knew from high school. I've been following him on Facebook a bit. He was always posting very interesting stuff. I've seen a transformation begin to happen in his life. He became a very political, and I was very intrigued, because in high school he was not like that at all. But suddenly he passed away and he died. Life is so short, it can pass away so quickly. So we need to take captive and take hold of what we have now and what we have today. So Jesus resurrects, and he gives a message to his people following him. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Proclaim that the kingdom is coming. Satan was not happy about this. He thought he had it all covered. He thought he had it. His plan was all taken care of. He didn't suspect that Jesus would resurrect from the grave. And thus, when he resurrected from the grave, he conquered death, so that death would be no more. He reversed the cycle, reversed the curse, that when we die too, we may be like Jesus and resurrect in the second coming. But now we live in this in-between time, where we have entered into a new beginning. If you have here put your faith in Jesus, and if not, if you want to put your faith in Jesus, you enter into a new beginning. But it's not complete yet. There's this in-between time when Christ will return and make all things new, and the Spirit that's been put into us, a deposit, a seal for the day of redemption that we have now. There's this in-between time. And the question is, what do we do now in this time? What is it we do? Jesus departed 2,000 years ago. He hasn't returned yet. Clearly, there is a plan and a mission for his people in the church today. Even now in 2019, what is it we are to do? There is this general plan that we can get from what the scriptures teach us. And then there's specific plans. As individuals, we must begin to discern where God is leading us and where God is taking us. It's something that we privately learn through conversation and prayer with God, where he's directing us. There's also a corporate mission that he has for the local body of believers that gather together. And then a global plan he has. But we need to discern what that is, because if we don't begin to discern, surely Satan is beginning his plan for 2019. To take away the minds of your children, to pervert them, to pervert justice, to continue to make anger and tension between people, that there may be murder and death. I don't know why this creature would even want such a thing, but it's true. And other people, their hearts seethe on that type of thing. And even our own hearts can begin to want these type of evil actions. We think not. We think, no, that can't be me. But then all of a sudden, someone ticks us off and we get angry. And the thoughts that come to our mind over that, we wonder, where did that come from? Within us is that ability to also be evil. So we mustn't judge, but we must reject what that is. Cling on to Christ. Live by his Spirit and begin to do what he's called us to do. So, what is our plan, church, for 2019? What is our plan that we must discuss today? So, maybe you've already begun planning. It's been about 6 days now into the new year. Maybe, like us, you tried to plan, but you still haven't been able to sort everything out. And like Pastor Jack said, sometimes plans change, and sometimes we need to adjust ourselves accordingly to those plans, because what is our plans is sometimes not God's plans, but we can trust that he will direct us. As we look through the scriptures that what God tells us about planning, we begin to see two different verses popping out at us, one that really represent what God's responsibility is. And another side, what the human responsibility element is. So we need to hold these things in balance. We can't be in one extreme or the other. We can't, in one sense, be, don't worry, God's going to take care of it. I'm going to go in my merry, merry way. But on the other hand, we can't become so controlling over our own schedule that we don't let God interrupt what he's trying to do, that we may lose focus on him. And another important note that's actually a deeper issue I see pervading sometimes Christian people is that it can be a very dangerous way of thinking, that they're very certain this is where God's leading them, but it's actually not where God's leading them. And that can be a very, very challenging mindset to overcome when you're convinced that's where God wants, but it becomes very clear that wasn't what God wants. And that can lead you to question, well, how do I know what it is God wants for me? So we must hold very lightly where we feel God is directing us, but charge very fiercely in that direction. God is so loving and caring. He will direct those steps. On the God's responsibility part, in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So in this sense, we are just trusting God. What if that was you who thought God was directing you in a way and it turned out that probably wasn't God? I don't know where that came from. Trusting God. Do not lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding might think this was a failure, but yet what we see as failure, God will use for success. It's very important for us to try to understand how God uses everything in our life. If we commit it to him, he uses it for the greater good. He uses it for his purpose. So let's not get hung up or let our feelings and emotions, our level of encouragement versus discouragement, get caught up in what we view as success or failure. If we've committed to the Lord, do not lean on our own understanding. He will make your path straight. That is the promise. That's what God will do. He will make your path straight. That's what he's going to do for you. And that's what we're so grateful and thankful for. On the human responsibility part, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. While we trust in the Lord and we lean not on our own understanding, we still must be prudent with all that it is that we've been called to do. It's very simple. If we don't go out and begin to work, we're going to reap poverty. If we're not going out and actually taking action, we're going to reap poverty. It's going to come. This is just a very important fact of life. We have to be prudent with things like our finances. We have to be prudent with our time. We have to be wise with our actions. We have to take the schedule we have, and we need to make sure our time is being used effectively. Like I said earlier, we have limited time and schedule each and every single day. It's not enough just to be busy, because everyone's busy these days, but is everyone reaching their goal today? We live in a culture where people are busy, and I'm too busy to do that. But what are they busy doing? So this is where becoming diligent in what we're trying to plan really comes into play here. We need to have a certain sense of focus about what our goal is. I'm driving in the car now to work. During that time of driving the car, what am I listening to? What am I thinking about? What am I praying about? That's 30 minutes of time that can be used for something great. When I'm at home, I have in-between time. How much time have I spent checking through Facebook or social media? Not that there's not a time and a place for these type of actions, but has it become too much? Do we need to limit it just a little bit? And these are the questions we need to ask ourselves when we're learning to be diligent. But on the other hand, if we're always putting that burden on ourselves to live this perfect life, perfectly scheduled, perfectly focused and diligent, we can become worried and burdened with life. And if that's the case, if we find our heart and our spiritual attitude getting like that, we need to turn back this way and begin to emphasize in our own life God's heart and plan for us. It says in Proverbs 16:9, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." And this is also often talking about people who are not following the Lord. They plan their way and they think they're getting this way, but God uses their steps for his good. All evil plans in the world will eventually be used for his glory and his honor. They planned on killing Jesus and they thought that would end it, but all it did was erupt his kingdom into a much bigger plan. So we need to, even as Christians, as people who are saying, I am following the Lord, our hearts might get misdirected, but don't worry. The Lord will establish each and every step. He will. So don't worry if we don't get it perfect, if we don't get it right. The Lord, I always just like the simple saying, do your best and God will do the rest. And just keeping that at the forefront of our mind as we're planning. But still we must plan. It also says in Proverbs 24:27, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. There is a battle coming. There is a war already initiated. Satan has his plan. We need to prepare for that. We need to not only spiritually prepare, it's being resourceful. We're starting a church now in Pickering. And trust me, without resources, it's hard to get certain things going sometimes. But we can have faith in God, like Jesus exemplified when he said to Peter, oh, you need to pay your taxes, go fishing. And there was a coin in the fish's mouth. God can provide a miracle, for sure. But he's not just going to provide a miracle if you're at home twiddling your thumbs. He provides miracles on the way as you're planning diligently, and then they begin to show up. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. As we have set our plan in place, we need to constantly be discerning. Have we made the right choice? Is this the right choice? Okay, maybe not. Let's readjust a little this way. Let's readjust a little the opposite way. So we need to continue to be discerning our path as we go. On God's responsibility side of it, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, which is very true. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We can predict that tomorrow the sun's going to come up again. We even can predict kind of what the weather's going to be like, although that's off often. And we can predict that we'll probably be going to work, but everything in between there, we have no idea what's going to happen. Is there going to be a crash on the road? There's so much we don't know. For you are a mist that appears for a little time. Why do we hear this message constantly in the Bible about our lives being so short? Because sometimes we look at our life as this big, huge, important thing. We become the center of our own universe. Where, no, God is the center of the universe. Our life is but a mist. But another reason why you shouldn't worry too much. Because if not everything works out in your life, don't worry. God's plan will still prevail. But he will use you and bless you as well. It's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful God we have. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And this is the idea of holding our plans lightly. Of saying, okay, this is the direction I'll go, but maybe things will change. And maybe I have to switch directions. If the Lord wills it, we will live and do this or that. If not, we won't. It doesn't matter to us. We can get so caught up on our plan, goals, and dreams, and that becomes essentially the idol. So we have to hold it very lightly and realize that God can shift us. And some things are out of our control. Some things are in our control. We have control of how we spend our time for the most part. We have control of usually of what we eat or don't eat. We have control of what we're going to wear or not wear, what we're going to read or listen to. But we can't control how other people are going to affect our plan. We can't control the government. We can't control the economy. There's so much we can't control. I can control what little resources I have and try to make the best of that. But I can't control all things. And believe me, all the things happening in the world will affect the plan that I have. But that's okay, because the Lord is in control of that. So, on the human responsibility side of things, where there is no guidance, a people fails, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. And this is simple. As together, find those wise people around you to help sort out the plans you want to make for yourself. And as a group, come together and figure out how we're going to go about 2019. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And that's the beauty of it. After all is said and done, we can set some structures in place, and we can try to be more focused. We can manage our time better. We can schedule all that we can do. We can use our finances, and we can begin to save, invest, and do the best we can to be prudent, to be wise. But at the end of the day, commit it to the Lord, and he's going to establish your plans. And the beauty of it, when you commit yourself to the Lord, what happens is your plan becomes his plan. So it's not we're making a plan that isn't aligned with his. So we commit our plan to the Lord. So in conclusion, I leave those questions with you. What is your plan for 2019? Individually, as a church, as a family unit, as a small group of partners who are working together, what is your plan? Believe there's other plans that are going to work against the plan you have. If your plan has to do with God's plan, there's plans working against it. But what is your plan? My only comment, whatever you do, whatever your plan is, whatever God's put on your heart, whatever dream he's put on your heart, because as I speak now, I'm sure thoughts and dreams of what you are planning are popping to your mind right now. And I pray that those dreams will come true. And I pray that whatever God placed on your heart to accomplish in your lifetime, that it will come true and that you will actually succeed in what you have put your hands to. The only thing I suggest and encourage is in the midst of whatever those plans are, you insert three things. One, insert a discipline of daily prayer, because that is what is going to help us discern if our plan is going the right direction. Two, insert a daily discipline of reading Scripture to make sure that we are understanding and having the right mindset that God has given us, understanding what his overall plan is and making sure we're aligned with that. And three, a very practical thing, whatever gift you have, whatever God's given you that you're good at, that you've already begun to develop, how can you take that gift and get better at it this year? How can you develop your skill? How can you become a better pianist? How can you become a better computer programmer? How can you become a better businessman? How can you become more gentle and patient in the way you present yourself to other people? How can you develop your character? How can you become a more encouraging person? Because it's ultimately that character you develop, that Christ-like character you develop, which will take you to the next step that you're trying to get to. It's hard to get places in life when you're lacking in certain character flaws and issues. But God will help you with that. So in those three things, consistently work on them as you're going about whatever it is God's placed on your heart. And I am sure that you will succeed. And it may not look exactly what you think it will, but in God's eyes it'll succeed. So at the end of time, when the mist has passed away, when you, the mist, has vanished, and you are resurrected, and you stand before God, he will say, "My good and faithful servant, well done. I am pleased with you." Now, wouldn't that be an amazing words to hear from the Father, the creator of all things, to say, "Wow, well done, my good and faithful servant." So let's work together towards that, that our Father may call us a good and faithful servant at the end of our life. Let us not worry if he will or if he won't, because if we are going towards him, it's certain he will. He will do that. And so let us be encouraged when he says that to us, that all the strain, that all the pain, that all the pressure, that the sicknesses we have, that the heartaches we experience, the suffering we go through, will all be worth it in the end, because in the end, all things will be made new. And that's the hope we rest on. That's the hope that gets us through every moment. That's the hope that gets us through the days where it feels like it's dragging, the stress and the pain we can feel. Even being stuck just in traffic, you feel frustration ever from that. That will go. That will go. Little things like that will go. The enemy will use those little things to try to get you off track. And that's where we need to learn to stay on track, even in little moments where we feel like we're getting frustrated. That's something I want to work towards this year, is how can I be less frustrated with other people, with myself, when things don't quite work out the way I want it. If I can have that peace that passes all understanding in every moment, how effective can I be in this life? I think very, very effective. How can I, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, know where he's going and say, "Lord, if it is your will, I will do it," and bear the sins of the world upon him, and still march up the road where he died? How can I carry my cross and suffer for Christ, that I may get to the end and say, "That's awesome, God, that you love me and that you're telling me right now that I'm your good and faithful servant"? Wow, wonderful. So what are we doing in Pickering right now? So we are church planners that decided to go to Pickering to start a church in Pickering. I don't know who was all here last time I spoke, so I'll just recap kind of our story quickly. We left London, Ontario, where we had a thriving painting business, to start a church in Pickering. Just up and left. That was a hard decision for us. So when we talk about planning for 2019, you better believe we are planning right now a lot. But partly, we don't know where to go half the time because there's just so much coming at us. We have never lived in Pickering before. We know no one in Pickering. We didn't even know we were going to be in Pickering until about October 1st. They were asking us where we would go, and they gave us a huge area to choose from, Markham, Scarborough, or Pickering. And we were like, well, let's start driving through and checking these places out. We drove through and we found a little place in Pickering where we put a circle around on a map and we said, for some reason, our hearts feel warmed about this place. Let's pray over this place. So we prayed over it for a whole year. It was 2 weeks before we had to move out of our house, and they had finally given us the approval. Yes, we want to support you in your church planning efforts. And we had to move from London. There was no place available in that little area in Pickering, so we didn't know where we were going to go. So we found a place in Markham that seemed to fit what we were looking to do. And in that place in Markham, it was a nice house and stuff. Elena was kind of, I'm not sure about this, but we didn't really have many options. So we were just about to sign the lease, and we're like, okay, we'll sign the lease tonight. We have a meeting now with the church planning committee, and right after, I'm going to sign it online, and we'll get this thing going because we need a place to stay. We're out of our house in 2 weeks, and I really don't want to live back with my father for a month. And so we went and had that church planning committee, and then we started talking about the budget, and they tell us how much money was actually raised. And we said, wait a second. So what's this number here? Because I thought that's how much money's raised. They're like, no, that was what was projected to get raised. Like, oh, so you only have this much raised. And we have to move, like, out of our hometown and leave our whole entire business, which is our livelihood, on this much. We're like, hey, wait a second. We need to pray about this. I said, take time and pray about it and tell us what you decide. So we didn't sign the lease that night because of it. And then we began praying, and I said to Elena, I said, let's just go ahead and do it anyways. That's the faith part. Let's just take that step of faith and do it anyways. We get up the next morning and let them know we're going to do it, and we begin looking for houses, just double checking if there's anything. In that little area we prayed for in Pickering, a house came available that morning. We immediately raced over and told them about what, or just signed the application basically and said, we want this. It was perfect what we're looking for. But five other people had applied for it, and some of them were applying for $300 more a month. They were offering to pay the whole year up front. We're like, oh, there's no way we're going to get this now. Turns out the landlady was a Christian, and when she found out what we were doing, she chose us anyways, even though she was going to get less money for it. So we thought, perfect, God's leading us here. So we live in a marina area, and we thought, well, how are we going to start church in this area? What's church look like in this area? So we'll be starting in our home right now. We're actually, this Saturday, we're going to be starting a prayer group, inviting people out to pray for that. We're meeting and kind of make a time of worship, and we'll read some scripture just to kind of get something going where we have a place to invite people out. But we live in a marina community, so the big overall vision is eventually have a large boat that we host a service on during the summer months as a way to attract new people out who aren't used to church. That's why it's called Boat Church. Bibles open, action taken. So these are some of the stories I shared to the congregation not too long ago. And so since then, what had happened was we began going out and meeting the community. Elaine and I put our coats on, and thankfully it wasn't too cold in November, so we didn't have to bundle up too much. My beard wasn't freezing or anything like that. And we began knocking on doors and inviting, meeting our neighbors, just saying, hi, we're new to the area. We're your neighbors, and we're having a Christmas party on whatever date that was, December 16th, I think it was at the time, and began inviting people out to our Christmas party. We met over 80 different neighbors, and it was just an amazing experience. We were getting invited into some of their homes and got to sit around their tables and hear their stories and hear how long they've lived there and why they lived there and where they lived before and what they think of the community, whether they like it or not. One lady actually found out what we were doing as a church planners, and she said, you know, I've been having so many questions about God lately. Perfect. So we began that conversation with her. One other lady across the road, she had no one in her life. No one goes to her house. She has no human connection. She has two friends in life, that's it. And they're both older, and they both live like 45 minutes to an hour away. She never sees them. All her family's passed away. They died. She's absolutely alone. So now she comes over often, and we have her over for a game night or time to get to know her. Definitely hostile towards the gospel, but we're just trying to reach out and be the hands and feet there and give her a connection. You can't just live alone your whole life. That's terrible. So we began to meet these people. We threw on the Christmas party. It ended up going quite great. We had about six different households show up. We weren't sure how many would show up. We put out over 80 invites, but you know what? It helped us get to know our neighborhood and where people are at, and we got to meet those people who did come over. Well, we met some people who want to be part of the core team. I put out a Kijiji ad, actually, just seeing if anyone wanted to help in the church plant in the area, not knowing where that would go, and actually got a few replies from it that seemed quite promising of people who wanted to help out. Some people were already Christian, doing well. Others were actually just looking for help because they don't want to live the drug addict life they're living right now. So we've been beginning to do ministry that way, one-on-one with people as we meet them. So we have plans for this year. Our plan is to, we're still working through a few of the details, so I'm not going to share everything now because, as you know, they could change. But overall, the plan is we're going to at least try to start meeting in our house and meeting people. We have to get our painting business up and going because of just financially, because the funding wasn't quite there, so we have to self-support each other, our church now, and churches are donating. I know you guys will have an offering soon and appreciate whatever gifts you give, and it helps us. It frees up our time to continue to do the work God's called us to. I was also sharing part of what our ministry is doing and what we were actually doing before the church plan is helping orphans, and it's actually another way that we're trying to utilize as a business model to help sustain us financially while we're doing the church plan in a way that utilizes a for-profit company and a non-profit company. So this nutritional company, they're a Christian-based company. They have a heart for orphans, and they do plant-based nutrition. They're called Manatech, and what they do is when you purchase one of their products, they actually initiate a donation of this thing called PhytoBlend, which is this plant-based nutrient powder that goes on top of the rice and stuff for children, for orphans. And because they get lots of food, the orphans get lots of food, but they don't get nutrition. So they often suffer from brain problems and things like that. So the solution is we put on the powder, and it gives them nutrition. So they do that out of their own will. It's basically kind of like a TomTom shoe model, buy one, give one. You buy the product and they give one. So we partner with them actually that as we link customers up with that product, they're going to give us a small commission from each sale as well. And also the PhytoBlend goes to an orphanage that we have partnered with in Uganda. So we have a friend named Christopher, and I don't know if I shared this story or not with you guys last time because I think it happened just after, but what happened was we were kind of making this plans with Christopher, who ran an orphanage in Uganda years ago. With all everything going in the transition, we lost touch, our numbers changed, and we just didn't have much connection. We were in Toronto for a meeting downtown, and we had about an hour to spare, so we decided we'll go walk through the Eaton Center while we're waiting. That's right on Yonge and Dundas, the busiest area. We walk in the front entrance, and right in the middle is this little Ugandan man on his phone, and we is that Christopher? And sure enough, Christopher is standing right there in the downtown Toronto, and we just ran into him. We're like, what are you doing here? And he says, well, I'm down here for 2 weeks fundraising and whatnot. I tried to get a hold of you guys, but I guess your number changed and all that. We thought, wow, well, come on over. We're having you over for dinner. Come. And I get back on the phone the next day with Manatech, and they're like, yes, everything's been approved. We're ready to send the PhytoBlend to his orphanage. So praise God, we have 12 boxes of this stuff. It's enough to nurse 150 kids for the next 10 months in his orphanage. Now, Christopher, he has over 500 kids in his orphanage. Most of them were what they call throwaway babies, literally babies that are just thrown in the dumpster. The police find them, and they bring them to Christopher's orphanage, and he has to rehabilitate them back to life and then raise them, and then hopefully by the time they're 18, they're ready to do work, and they can sustain themselves. So we're able to get enough for 150 kids for the next 10 months. So he has to pick and choose who he's going to give that to. He decided he's going to give it to like the most vulnerable, the ages between 2 and 5, that area, because they're the ones where they're developing still in their brain and they need that, because how they develop then will matter for the rest of their life. So I have a short video just showing kind of what happened here and how exciting this is for us to do. If we can just run that video quick.
Well, the battle rages about what to do with little babies. These are considered throwaway babies that have no mom, no dads. A number of them are HIV positive. And They're just lined up on the walls.
Foundation was created to address the global crisis of childhood malnutrition. The food supply that these children are receiving is usually based on corn and soy products, and so those are actually missing vitamin A, iron, iodine, zinc. What we're providing in Phytoblend are naturally food-sourced supplements that contain those micronutrients that they're not getting from their food. M5M benefits greatly from Manitech's commitment to giving. For every finished product sale, Manitech makes a donation for the purchase of Phytoblend.
So, what's going on here?
It's arrived. So, Phytoblend's here. Tipper is going to be ecstatic. Wow, this is amazing. All right, we're here with Christopher from Uganda. He runs the orphanage, and he just wants to, and all of us want to give a big thanks to Manitech and the M5M Foundation for partnering with us to help feed these orphans. So we give just a big wholehearted thank you to all you business people out there working so hard to do your mission, which is providing for these children. And this is real. It's actually happening, and that's something that we need to come in contact with. So thank you from us, from Christopher, and Dave Rundle here.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
So that's our plan for 2019 as well, is to link customers to what we're doing and help finance our mission, support a church, support an orphan, support your health. If that's something that interests you, you can see us after. And also, if you want to be part of the newsletter to continue to keep up with what we're doing, you can fill in your email on our slip there. So that's a business we look like to build in the future. In the immediate, we are painting. So if anyone needs any painting done, we have lots of references. We're wonderful painters. We've been in the industry for many, many years. My amazing wife, she's grew up as a painter. Her dad ran a painting company. And when actually... Another interesting story about how God throws in curveballs to your life. After I graduated from my master's degree in theology to do something with the church, I wasn't sure exactly what that point. Somehow I found myself being trained by how to run a painting company. And I had no idea why. So I went through that process and learned how to run a painting company. I learned all the ins and outs. I learned how to paint myself. I learned how to market and do all that. But I wasn't sure what was going on. I was almost getting a little discouraged. I had a desire at my time to find a wife and have a wife. I mean, I was getting later in my years, and at this time, I need to find someone to get married to. And in this society, it's a whole other topic I should preach about sometime. But in this society, it's very hard to find a partner. The average age of marriage is 31 for men and 29 for females, the highest it's ever been in world history. People just simply aren't marrying. The family unit is being abandoned. And that's a whole other topic, and I really should put together a sermon on that because I began doing PhD work on that topic, actually. And then all of a sudden, I met my beautiful wife, who is a professional painter. So together we started a painting company, and we were able to pay off all my student loans in 1 year because God really blessed our business. But then we had to leave the business, but that's a whole other story. So here we are today in 2019, and we ask you to continue to pray for Boat Church. And as I pray for you too, Lord, we thank you for this congregation here in Richmond Hill. And we just pray that you will use them, that every heart here, they have a dream, that their mind is thinking about the thoughts that they have. May you touch their life, touch their business, touch their work, touch their ministries, that they may succeed in all that it is they put their hearts to. May they turn from any distractions, turn from any of the plans Satan has from them, protect them from that, that they may continue down the path that you have for them. Whoever here has been touched by our story, I pray that you will give them insight and wisdom on how they can support our new baby church out there in Pickering. And we thank you for their prayers. We thank you for their support. We thank you for their commitment. We thank you for the partnership we have together as we all work together for the gospel, for the kingdom, in this country, in this city, Lord, that all together, as all the true believers of Christ begin to band together to complete the work that you have for us to complete, that there's still work to be done, that you haven't come back yet. Father, we thank you, and we thank you for these beautiful orphan children that we've seen, and we just continue to pray protection over their life. May we never take for granted the food we have. May we also help the children in our own lives right now in this country. May we help our children be raised up to be followers of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.